Growing the Game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigreed durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at RivieraAgSeeds.ca. This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, a podcast dedicated to growing the sport of football in Saskatchewan. Now, here's Ballsy.
I'm Ballsy. Michael Ball, it says on my birth certificate, but people know me as Ballsy. Anyway, let's head out and say hi to our friend Brett Jones, center for the Minnesota Vikings Weyburn product. How are you, Brett?
Good, how are you doing?
Good, man. Okay, so your Ram days, were you ever initiated by the team? I hate to use the word hazed.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, any team you join, there's always a lot of rookie things, whether they get you to do stuff or things like that, but... the Rams weren't too bad. It always got worse as they seemed to go up and through the CFL. It was more we had to do like a rookie skit. And then in the NFL, I came in after the Miami Dolphins thing, so there was a lot less stuff. I just had to sing, but that was about it.
What'd you sing?
I sang Darius Rucker's Wagon Wheel.
Why'd you pick that one?
I like that song, so really? It's easy to remember.
Okay, cool. So what? Right now, what's on Brett Jones's iPod? Like, what are you listening to as you're getting pumped up iPod on your phone, I guess? What I'm talking like I'm an old guy. Well, I am old. But anyway, what's on your what's on your music selection list when you're getting ready for a game or something like that?
Oh, when I get ready? I just listen to lots of the new rap or hip-hop stuff. But if I'm going to work out, I'll listen to... some metal stuff. I don't know. I listen to like Volbeat or things like that. Yeah, just different rocks and metal. But yeah, whatever. It just depends on the mood I'm trying to get into.
Quite an eclectic listening playlist there. Okay, so Brett Jones of the Minnesota Vikings joining us now. I've always wanted to ask you this question. You're in one of the best Super Bowl commercials ever as one of the backup dancers for Eli Manning and Odell Beckham Jr. from a couple of Super Bowls ago. How long did it take you to shoot that commercial?
That commercial, I flew in the night before and probably from about 8 a.m. till about 2. That's all it took, probably 6 hours. We weren't doing much for most of it. We took about 2 hours to learn the dance moves. They filmed a bunch of different stuff in case they wanted to go a different way. But, yeah, we were only out there probably for 4 hours.
How cool was that, man? Like, by the way, you don't know what I'm talking about. Google Brett Jones Super Bowl commercial, and it's the I Had the Time of My Life. That song from Dirty Dancing with Patrick Swayze. Anyway, Odell Beckham and Eli Manning are dancing. They're in the center, but Brett Jones is off to the side in his number 69 jersey. How cool is that to be a part of Super Bowl history? Because that one, when they come out with like the greatest Super Bowl commercials of all time, you're going to be on there.
Yeah, definitely. It's a memory I always have. It was cool to get to work with Eli and Odell. They were really a lot of fun. It was fun to watch all the outtakes or whatever, doing the different dances and stuff. Yeah, just something I'll always remember.
What's Odell Beckham Jr. like? Is he as outlandish as he appears in the media?
He gets a really bad rap. I mean, anytime you're in the New York media, things get blown out of the proportion, and I mean, there could be just a sliver of truth, and then they make it seem like that's the real thing. But definitely a lot of the stuff you read about him is just simply not true. He's a really good guy and a really good teammate.
What about Eli Manning? Because, like, just talk about the pressure this guy's under. He seems like he's just got no – he's a very funny guy when you see him on Saturday Night Live, but he seems like he's got a very – almost like no pulse. He doesn't get overly excited. He doesn't get overly down. Just talk about the professional and the quarterback that Eli Manning is.
Oh, that's exactly the word I'd use, just professional. The guy goes about his business each and every day, each and every week. He's going to go out there on Sunday and be ready to play. He knows exactly what he's got to do. He's got to get all his receivers and running backs in the line in the right way, right position, and just go out and react. He's such a professional, and he was a really great teammate to have, and get the snap to him was really cool.
Who's the best player you've played with?
You'll be up there. I mean, I've got to play with some pretty good players and guys like Odell. Eli Manning will be a Hall of Famer at some point. I've played with like Jason Pierre-Paul, Damon Harrison, Olivier Vernon. Like, all those guys are really, really good.
Yeah.
And then just recently in Minnesota, like guys like Danielle Hunter, he's an up-and-coming star. You get to play with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen and Kirk Cousins. And definitely I've played with a lot of great players in my time.
Yeah, talk about Adam Thielen. There's a guy that, he comes out of Minnesota State, but he's not really regarded that highly coming out of college. And this guy comes into his own and is really one of the best receivers in the NFL, as last year's stats go.
Yeah, definitely. I think that any of those guys that think that just being the flashy receiver is the only way you can get into the NFL, that guy grinded on special teams and did everything right for so many years. And finally, he got his chance to play receiver. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he was ready to play. He knew all along whether or not he got the reps. But that guy is definitely somebody a lot of people could emulate. He wasn't given anything in the NFL, and he was able to just go out and produce. And he's earned everything he's got.
Brett Jones joining us, center for the Minnesota Vikings, from Weyburn. So what was it like to get traded from the Giants to the Vikings? That's the first time I'm assuming that's the first time in your career you've been traded. I know professionally it is. So what was it like to get traded?
Definitely was a very interesting whole ordeal sort of thing. So all training camp, all preseason, all through the summer, I wasn't really getting as many reps as I thought I deserved. And then going up into that week before I got traded, we played Detroit. I didn't really get to play very much. And then that week of practice, we're preparing for the last preseason game versus the New England Patriots. And it's just that practice. The GM comes out and says, "Hey, Brett, can you over?" Head coach Pat Shurmur was there. And they're like, "Yeah, we just traded you to the Minnesota Vikings. We think it's a great opportunity. You get a chance to go play." So I said, okay. So I got to do that. And it was pretty weird. You didn't really get to see any of your teammates after. But yeah, it was just a whirlwind. And that night, so I got off the practice field probably at 2:15, 3 o'clock. And at 7 p.m., I was on the plane going to Minnesota. So
yeah.
It's fast. And they just want to get you out there to make sure you pass the physical. So the trade goes through.
Who is the guy that brought you under his wing when you came to? Because it's got to be, I know you're a professional, you get paid money, but it's got to be a little unnerving to go to a new place, new locker room, a team with high expectations. Who brought you in under his wing with the Vikings?
There's a lot of good guys in the offensive line room. Most of the time I was working with lots of the coaches, but lots of the veteran guys like Riley Reiff and Mike Remmers were there. They're older guys. And they were able to help me out and make sure that I was going to make the calls that they needed to make so we could try to win games. And I was just going to go out there and do my best for what was best for the team.
Outstanding lineman in the Canadian Football League, Grey Cup champion Brett Jones from Weyburn, now a National Football Leaguer. What do you got to do to take your game to the next level this next season? And I guess, Brett, critique your season for me after the trade. I know the offensive line had its issues in Minnesota at times. At least that's the talk. I'm not there, obviously. But what do you think about your play this past season, and what do you got to do to take it to the next level?
Definitely, there's always lots of stuff you can work on each and every offseason. For me personally, I just want to make sure that physically I'm really very healthy now because I didn't play this offseason or this last season. So I'm in some of the best physical shape that I've been in the past few years. Over those years, I didn't miss a game in the CFL. So your body, just over those reps, you get beat up. I feel a lot better. Physically, I'm just ready to get my next opportunity and just go out there and work as hard as I can and prove that I can keep playing. I know I can play. And I'm just waiting for my next opportunity.
Brett, so what message, like we talk about Adam Thielen, but how about Brett Jones? On this show today, I've had Ben Hebert from Riffle High School that is voted the all-time greatest lead in Canadian men's curling history, okay, from Regina. I have Stu Sherwater, the only major league umpire from Canada right now from Regina. And now we've got Brett Jones from Weyburn, Saskatchewan in the National Football League. What message do you have for young kids, either offensive linemen or just players that are thinking, man, I want to be the next Brett Jones?
I just think that if you can dream that you can do it, you just got to believe in yourself. I mean, a lot of people, if I would have told them in high school that I was going to do this, people would have thought I was crazy. But each and every day, I just try to get a little bit better. I love the game of football and I love what I did. So it made it a lot easier. So just find what you love and just believe that you can do it. and just go out and do it. At the end of the day, you can do whatever you want to do.
Last question for you, Brett Jones. Well, two more questions. There's a big alumni event coming up on April the 4th over at the university. You're part of that. They can come meet you. You know, you look at this football team, Brett Jones, Brandon Labatt, John Ryan, Akeem Hicks, Stephon Charles, who is in the NFL now playing in the AAF, the likes of Neil Hughes, Chris Getzlaff. I mean, the list goes on what the Rams have produced. Tamon Campbell, another one with the Jets. Just talk about the culture the Rams created back in the day to help you get where you are.
Oh, definitely. I think that during my time with the Rams, we had a lot of great coaches during that time. And we were just given all the tools necessary to just go out and be the best that we could be. We were able to go out and play. Having such small numbers on the team, it allowed us to get on the field early and get that experience. And make a lot of mistakes that you don't necessarily get to make if you don't play right away. So I think that we had a really great locker room then, a lot of great guys. They have gone to do a lot of great things in the community. And I think it just started from the top with Frank McChrystal and all the volunteers that have helped along the way at the Rams. As everybody knows, it's a volunteer organization. And without those people, I don't think any of us are where we are today.
That's happening at the university April 4th. And Sean Kleisinger, the great PA announcer and our producer, is going to be the MC for that night. And last question, who's the better lineman from Weyburn? Brandon Labatt of the Rough Riders or Brett Jones from the Minnesota Vikings?
I got to catch Brandon Labatt. He's been playing a lot longer than I have. So maybe we'll talk when I'm done playing. But he's definitely had a great career and done a lot of great things. And he was always somebody I looked up to when I played. So hopefully he can keep playing a lot longer. I know he can as long as he stays healthy, and he's still one of the better linemen in the CFL.
That is unreal. Two studs from Weyburn, Brandon Labatt and this guy, Brett Jones of the Minnesota Vikings. Hey, thanks for taking time out of your schedule, and I hope to see you on April 4th, okay, my friend?
Yeah, sounds good.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigreed durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at riviereagseeds.ca.
And growing the game with Ballsy rolling right along with Ben Hebert, the all-time greatest male lead curler in Canadian history, as voted on by 31 curling experts. And talk to Hebert, the Regina native and former Regina Thunder football player, shortly after they captured the Canadian Curling Championship in Brandon, Manitoba. Talk about how hard it is, pardon me, for you guys to go the whole tournament undefeated like that.
Yeah, that's a bit crazy, actually. That doesn't even happen, like, in regular bond spiels, never mind a Canadian championship like that. Like, we play on the tour all year, and for a team to run the table and go 7-0 and 8-0 is really unheard of with the parity in the sport today. So for us to go 13-0 is a little bit ridiculous, but, I mean, it's sport. You know, we had a hot week. Our skip played really, really good most of the week, and, you know, we got some breaks for sure. You need some breaks. You need a little bit of, you know, in hockey they call it puck luck going your way there in those games when, you know, a rock kicks a guard or they miss a big shot and we kind of jump on them and, you know, just got some breaks going our way. But you need breaks to win those events. You don't win major championship events without getting some misses and getting a little bit of luck. And, yeah, everything kind of turned out cooly for us this whole week.
Ben Hebert joining us. So, Ben, where does this win rank among your curling moments?
Yeah, it's right up there at the top, I'll tell you that. You know, it's certainly getting harder to win Canadian championships, world championships, Olympic games. You know, as far as Briars go, this is right up there with number one. I mean, they're all special for different reasons, but this one, real juicy, new team, you know, coming back last year after the disappointment of the Olympics, never knowing if you're going to get to represent Canada again. and we come back with two new players, two rookies, me and Kevin, and, you know, Kevin leads us to the promised land again, undefeated Briar with a stacked field with, you know, Gushu, Jacobs, and Botcher and everybody else that was in there, McEwen, and just to play as good as we did and to dominate like we did is a real good message sent that, you know, we're still here for a while and we're going to be a team to be reckoned with. And so really proud about that. You know, it's probably not up there quite with the Olympics.
Yeah.
Because getting the Olympic Games is just a crazy thing. But certainly as far as Briar goes, it's, I mean, it feels right now as it's number one because it's so fresh, but pretty special today.
Yeah, for sure. Good couple of Saskatchewan boys in the team, yourself and Colton Flash there from Bigger.
Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome. Having Colton there, I was saying, you know, I see a lot of myself in him when I was his age. Just hopefully I can speed up the learning process for him like I should have done when I was 27 years old. But, you know, he's a total pro. You know, he works hard. You know, he's just got he's just a big brute. He's got the natural farmer strength. They're a kid from Bigger. He's a freak on the broom. He's got all the shots. And, you know, for a rookie, I think he shot like 93% in the final, man. He was a stud, and he's going to be a key factor for us if we're going to be a top team in the world for a long time here. You know, he's going to be the X factor. He's got all the tools to be an amazing, amazing player.
So there you go. I always ask guys this when they're in a position like you're in. What would Ben Hebert now tell the young Ben Hebert? So I guess I can rephrase that and say, what would Ben Hebert tell the young Colton Flash, who you just said kind of reminds you of you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to learn. I mean, you know, just about, you know, being a professional and doing the right things and, you know, and how you win and, you know, big games and just certain things. And you can't really teach it unless you have the experience, you know. I went through it with, you know, Kevin Martin, with John Morris and Mark Kennedy. We were all kind of rookies together, but Kevin wasn't. He was the veteran, right? And he kind of told us, we should do this, we should do this. And we were young, you know, naive, so we're kind of like, we weren't listening because we were winning everything. We didn't care what they had to say. We were just going through it, right, all together.
Mm-hmm.
But now that, you know, there's myself and Kevin and there's the younger guy with Colton there, there's two of us, and I'm like, listen, here's what you do. And, you know, he listens. He doesn't just... he doesn't just go in one ear out the other, you know, and he gets paid dividends from this year. He's had a great season, and, you know, you can win games and do certain things. You don't always have to have your best game to win. I think we proved that this week. We had a couple games we were kind of average, but just the strategy and veteran leadership and hanging in there and grinding out some wins is what you got to do. And, yeah, he's learning. He's and you know what? He's taught us a lot of stuff, too, and he brings a lot of energy to the team with his youth, so it's been good for us.
Okay, last question for you. Where does Kevin Cooey rank amongst the curlers you've played with?
Wow. I mean, Kevin 1 and Kevin 2, I mean, you can put them up there together. I mean, if you look at Kevin Martin's resume, just because of the Olympic Games, he's going to have more ticks. But, you know, Kevin Cooey's won just as many world championships. He's won an equally amount as Briar's right now. And obviously, you know, he hasn't played as long as Kevin Martin did either. But, you know, Kevin Cooey has all the shots Kevin Martin has. I mean, you know, he probably, you know, cool, you know, shot-making alone, just making all the shots. Kevin Cooey probably has more shots than Kevin Martin. I think Kevin's thing is his consistency over the year. Kevin Martin was spectacular at that. I'd say he probably consistently would be better than Kevin Cooey, but shot making alone and big shots and hero shots, I give to Kevin Cooey. Like the last night, the two we got in 10 last night wasn't really setting up for a two, let's put it that way. So, yeah. Special player.
All right, well, I'm going to let you go do laundry and everything domesticated so you can get ready to go to Lethbridge, okay, my friend?
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Take it easy.
See you. Bye.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigreed durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at riviereagseeds.ca.
It takes a lot of people to make amateur sports successful, both on and off the field. And our next guest is definitely a shining example of that. It's Andrea Eccleston. She's the equipment manager and team manager for the U of S Huskies football team. You went down to the NFL Combine as part of a Women in Football Symposium. What was that like?
It was amazing. It was so interesting to kind of get to hear the inner workings of NFL teams. So we got to hear from people working in football operations, football admin, the scouting, player personnel people, coaches, GMs, even one of the owners for the team. So we really got an in-depth look at exactly what it's like to work with an NFL team.
Did you get to meet any females in the world of NFL football? Is there any females in the world of NFL football?
We did, yeah. So we got to meet Callie. She was actually a participant in the symposium last year, and now she's in the scouting department with the San Francisco 49ers. So we did get to meet a few women who had participated in the symposium in past years and are now working with teams.
How'd you get selected, Andrea?
I believe it was a nomination process. So the CFL has kind of participated with this forum in the past, and so they partnered with U Sports this year, and a call went out to all the U Sports teams in Canada for them to nominate a woman working in football that might be interested in participating. So Scott put my name forward, and I was one of four selected.
And, of course, you're referring to Scott Flory, former, Regina guy, former Leboldus Golden Sun, played for the Alouettes and now coaching the U of S Huskies into his third season now as the head coach there. Now, tell us quickly about your journey. Like, how did you get into football? What do you like about the game? How did you get into it?
So this is going to be my 20th season with
Wow.
the Huskies this year. I got into it in high school. So I'm from rural Saskatchewan, oldest of three kids. Both my younger brothers played football. I was the driver. So I was always hanging out on the sideline. And the coach in high school said, well, if you're going to be here, you may as well be busy. So I started working with them. And then I was coming up to go to university. And one of the grad assistants with the Huskies was from my hometown and knew they were looking for an equipment manager. So I got a call from BT in August and quit my summer job early to come up and start working with the team during camp while going to university for my first year.
How have you been treated over the years by the guys, by the coaches? Because it is a male-driven sport for sure.
I think I've always been treated well. I mean, I certainly earned it. I worked hard and, you know, you just kind of have to let some things go, but I've earned their respect, and I think now that I've been around for so long, the guys kind of fill the new guys in before they even kind of meet me, so I definitely have no problems nowadays.
Yeah, Andrea Eccleston, the team manager / the equipment manager for the U of S Huskies. So do you have a goal for yourself? What's your end game? Like, would you like to take it to the next level? Would you like to go professional, CFL, NFL? What's in your future plans as far as football goes?
Well, I mean, I certainly don't rule out that, but I really enjoy working at this level in the sports. I feel we really get to make a difference with the student athletes, not only on the field, but with their academics and different things like that. So I certainly enjoy this level of football in particular, and I think I would lose some of those aspects moving to the professional level. So I think my dream is for university sport to be able to start to hire more people to work in these fields. Most of us are volunteer right now.
Yes. Quickly, Andrea, do you have a role model, a female role model, or a favorite female athlete?
Ooh, you know, I don't have anyone in particular. I think there's a lot of people I look up to, but especially like the women that are working in sports where, you know, it's not really seen as their area. And in women's football, we're certainly starting to see a lot more like tackle teams and new youth flag leagues to get women involved, girls involved at a younger age. So I think my role models are just those people that are making these opportunities open up for younger girls all over the country.
Andrea, thanks for this, and thanks for all the hard work you do at the amateur level, okay?
Thank you.
Appreciate you taking time. Andrea Eccleston, ending this show for us and helping to break down the barriers for women in football.
That was another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a story idea you'd like Michael Ball to pursue, please email him at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.